Hello, and welcome to the Irresistible Marketing Pod, the podcast against boring emails. You are way too interesting and audacious to send another highlight reel that no one reads, but I'm here to save you from that. I'm your host, Issa Gauci, your marketing confidence cheerleader and owner of the M. Issa Messaging digital marketing agency for small business baddies such as yourself. Honestly, y'all, I'm in my unsubscribe era. If it doesn't delight and inform me, it does not get to keep landing in my inbox. And 5 years ago, I told everyone email was my least favorite marketing channel because I found it so intrusive, upsettingly frequent, and annoying. But now, in 2024, I'm forced to swallow my smugness because there is literally no other marketing channel of mine that leads so directly to sales. So, I've been practicing, y'all. I upped my email frequency and hopefully my game, and surprise, surprise, I've garnered a lot more unsubscribes. Now, I really relish the perspective of greats like Simone Gray Soul who celebrate unsubscribes because they are an indication that you are showing up and being heard enough for people to make a decision one way or another about you. And I really, really appreciate that perspective, and it's helped me a lot. But I also want my emails to be really, really good. Like, I want people to look forward to having them land in their inbox. I want them to be entertained and delighted. I want them to get something out of it every time they open one of my emails. And I have a ways to go before I get there, I think. Like, I think I'm pretty good at email marketing, but, you know, we can always improve. And so I turned to literally the one single person who's every email blast I read and look forward to receiving. Because Paya Robbins and her violent confirmations email list are a fucking delight. And her open rates, replies, and the number of clients who are forwarding these gems around to their whole networks confirms it. Seriously, y'all, she gets the kind of results that email marketers dream of. And she graciously stopped by the pod to explain just how she does it and how you can too. Well, hello, Paya. Thank you so much for coming on the Irresistible Marketing Pod. I am so excited to talk to you about one of my very favorite newsletters to receive, which is your Violent Confirmations. But before we get into that, let me give you a chance to introduce yourself to the good people.
Hi, Issa. Thank you so much for inviting me to come on. I'm so freaking excited. My name is Paya Robbins. I used to be a VA. I am now kind of an operations specialist, maybe, question mark. I still do a little VA work. I have recently started doing accountability work and kind of mentorship with some of my clients, basically keeping them on task and helping them build and operate in the businesses that they love, like how they see it in their head, and just kind of making that a reality because it all doesn't have to be the same.
Love it. So systems queen.
Yes.
Systems queen. All right. Awesome. So I want to get all into violent confirmations because I'm personally finding like my email list is my most lucrative marketing channel right now. And all the best practices say keep it short and sweet, but I'm a little long-winded and I have the hardest time with that. You have the most amazing newsletter called Violent Confirmations. And I find it so effective. I read every single one you send and I want to talk with you all about it. But first, perhaps I could trouble you to just let the people know what was the inspiration behind Violent Confirmations?
So Violent Confirmation is such a cool name for a newsletter, I thought. I'm super proud of that. And then it was just kind of a way to get me to start using email as a way to build. It's so interesting. You said it's the best marketing source for your business. And I don't think I've ever sold anything via email. Like, I just use it to kind of build community, which I think it's so hard to do on social media when you're me, because I'm not a fan. I can't be consistent on social media. I just can't do it. I can't be in there every day. I try really hard. I think I want to be that person that can just go on social media and be super comfortable with it. And I'm not. But with Violent Confirmation, it was more a challenge for myself. And I think that was the year I started it in 2022. And the challenge was that I would send an email out every day. And every day that year, that was what I was going to do. And then not all of them are great, obviously, but it became so easy to just send just kind of like a hit, like this punch in the throat to get your day going. Because I also send it, I used to send them at 4:05 in the morning Pacific, which for most of my clients are on the East Coast, so for them it's like not as offensive to get an email at 7 in the morning. But as I made more and more West Coast friends, they're like, girl, it's 4 in the morning. You cannot come for my throat like this. I'm just like, sorry, this is I was born at 4:04, so I figure this is probably how I came into the world, is with this like punch you in the face kind of energy.
That is, I love that you describe them as a punch in the throat to start your day. But they are, but it's like the most loving punch in the throat.
Yes.
So people can get a sense of the magic that is Violent Confirmations. Would you mind reading an example or two or three of the magic that is this li email list?
Yes. So one, the first one was like super clunky, so I'll spare you that one, but it was just like, hey, I'm doing this thing. Because I also think that declaring that that's the thing that I was doing was super important, because then people were like, is she every day for a year, like 365 days? And I'm like, yep, I'm gonna do it. And so this one is actually when I was like, I remember writing this email, and it was from January 19th of 2022. And I think this was the first email that I sent that I was like, oh, I could send anything. I'm just gonna fucking send it, like whatever comes to mind, I'm just gonna send it. Because I was still feeling that, like, oh, it has to be perfect. People aren't gonna open it and all this. And then after this one is when the list started to grow. Not that it's a massive list, but like it started with one person. And then after this one, I think this is when I hit double digits, and I was like, this is mean. Like, I'm yelling at people. And they're still like, yes, please stop yelling. Yes, sign me up. So January 19th, Paya, 2022. And it says, hi, remember on Monday when I said the only way we'll be able to build a community is by telling our stories? Well, it's been 2 days. What story did you tell? Oh, listen, I get it. We're 19 days into 2022. You have resolutions, you've got plans. New year, new you. Am I right? You're easing in. May I offer another perspective? And then there's a bunch of arrows. And in bold and quoted and very big, it says, yo, if you don't get off your ass and start sharing your fucking gifts with the world, all that goodness that lives inside of you ain't meant to just live in there, never seeing the light of fucking day. The things you've been through are not only for you. Those lessons you've learned, sometimes the hard way, are meant to be shared. You are the storyteller. You are the healer. You are the proof that things can be better. We're coming up on Aquarius season in my birthday month. I'm going to challenge you and encourage you. I'll be here to co-sign every bad, in quotes, decision. When you choose to walk through fire, I'm going to be right there lighting white candles of protection in the flames. Are you coming? And then it's a Robert Downey Jr. gif, like eye rolling. And it says, oh, you thought I was joking. And then until tomorrow, okay. So many people joined after that email.
It's so good. And I love that you've spelled out your process, because it sounds like maybe there was some anxiousness or nervousness of being seen. And then that is coming out with a bang on the stage. Like, did you have to hype
Yeah.
yourself up, or like, what was the process to get to the
I
place
did.
that?
And at this point, I wasn't scheduling them because I never knew what I was going to write. So I was literally just waking up in the morning and writing them because I'm an early bird. And so this one went out at like 7:45 in the morning, but I had wrote it early. And I'm just like, can I say that? Can I say all this stuff? And I'm like, well, if everybody in this list up to this point knows me, like in real life, they all know my attitude. They all know how I talk. They all know my mannerisms, my faces. Like, this is exactly what I would say to them on any given day. But, and even then, it still took me a long time to hit like broadcast. And then once I hit it, I was like, this might be the last email that I write. And if it is, then whatever. If everybody unsubscribes, I'll still send it and I'll read it because I'll still be on the list. But it was really, really, really scary. And then one of the responses I got from that email was my friend in New York, and she was reading it, and she said she was like punching, like almost rocking her computer, like just standing there getting pumped up in the morning. And her husband walked in on her. He's like, "What the hell are you doing? What the hell's a violent confirmation?" And he's like, "Oh, this is fun, and this is inspiring me. So like, leave me alone." And I was like, "Oh, okay. This might work. This crazy experiment might work. Whatever. We'll see." Another one that I super love. I'm such a meme queen. So you know that meme, and it's like Kermit the Frog sipping tea. So I made one, and the whole violent confirmation is just that image, and it says, "Sometimes you're the problem." And a lot of people responded to that one, and they're just like, "Why are you like this? Like, why are you doing this to me? It's morning time. This is for after coffee, and I read these before coffee." And I'm like, "Sorry. I mean, and sometimes I am the problem.
Coffee
I know
now.
that." Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's so
I love that one. And then one, and I really love this subject line. I also like, I think this gave me a lot of permission to experiment with different things. And people are always talking about like A/B testing, and I'm like, I don't know what that means. Like, please show me what that means. And like, so this one, the subject line is "Receipt with you or in the bag." And it's just, "Welcome to today's violent confirmation. Here's our mantra for today. I will eliminate people from my life that force me to keep screenshots to feel safe. Loving receipts on my own terms, pay." But that's like, I wrote that, and it's mostly, it's a message for me, because there were a lot of relationships where like people would say things, and I'm like, I'm just gonna take a quick screenshot, because I never know when this is gonna come up again. And why do I need to do that? I shouldn't be. That's not a healthy, or to me at least, it's not a healthy relationship to be in when you need to do that like preemptively before anything even happens. So it's just a reminder, and people really got a lot from that one.
Oh, it's so good. I love that you can say so much with so little. And like, teach me, is this just, were you born with this gift, or did you have to like hone this ability to be able to say so much in such a small space? Because these are like a paragraph tops, usually, I feel like.
Yeah, for a while my like the footer of the emails was "Your daily dose of something in 100 words or less," because I noticed that I mean, the closest I would get would be like 75 words. And I think, I don't know, growing up I was pretty quiet because I didn't want to be noticed, and it was easier to not be noticed when you're quiet. But like, if you're a quiet person by nature, if you're the wallflower, you see everything. If you're just in a corner, people are just acting. They forget you're there. Inhibitions are gone, and they're going to do what they're going to do. So I think it's easy to get a lot of learning, a lot of experience through just watching others. And so it became, I don't know, almost a, if you don't have anything like good to say or impactful, then stay quiet. Like, I grew up with that sort of thing where you didn't speak up just to hear yourself. You had to have something to say. So I think it just became pretty second nature to say something, and then people would be like, "What are you? Wow, that came out of nowhere." And I'm like, "Yeah, it didn't, though, because this is what we're talking, this is what we're living." And I don't know, it's just a thing. It's always followed me through life. If I'm in a group, in a networking group, or where if there's a group of people on Zoom, I just started turning on my camera like probably in the last year. I was always a person with their camera off. And now if I'm on a meeting, I'll turn my camera on, and I force myself to say something. I'm like, "You have to say so like one thing, bitch. Please come off mute and say something." And now when I say something, it stops the room. And then I'm like, "Oh, I can't come back here these people are paying way too much attention to me. Like, I would like to not be perceived today. Or I'll write something in the chat and they're like, no, you have to come off mute and say something. So I don't know. I think it's, I don't know where it comes from, but it does happen often, which is so weird. It's just the weirdest.
I mean, I think what we're getting at here is great. So like the paya you read in Violent Confirmations is the same paya you get if I were to meet you at a party or
Yeah.
be like at a networking event. So like you're showing up just as full you. Like this is just how you talk.
Yeah. This it, yeah. And I
Ooh.
get that response a lot too, where people are like, I can hear this in your voice, which is making it worse. Like, that's not helping.
But also, they're opening those emails and reading them because they're like, I know what I'm going to get from this, and it's Paya.
Yeah.
And it's not
Yeah.
like a Instagram filter version of you. It's like
God, yeah.
how you actually communicate and are in life, which is, I think,
Yeah.
always makes marketing type stuff better. I wanted to talk about your sign off. I'm not sure, does it change often? But the one I've
So
seen
in
a
the
lot.
beginning, yes, it used to, I love that you mentioned that, how much you love it, because I'm like, I really love this one. The one that I'm using now every day, I am so in love with it. And in the beginning, it used to change every day. And then I think I just stopped changing it. I don't want to say laziness, but it was just like there, I didn't feel a need to change it.
I messed with
And then
perfection.
now it's so
Yeah.
good. It's
So
so good.
the one you have now is emailed with equal measures of love, rage, appreciation, and respect.
Yes.
And I got really excited when I saw the word rage in there. I'm wondering if you could talk us through why was that important for you to include rage in that sign off?
I'm an Aquarius, which is a sign of like rebellion and revolution. And I feel like so much goodness comes from that rage. Like you can turn rage and anger into something so beautiful and so powerful. And I think people who experience that or have done that, I don't think that we're giving ourselves enough credit when that's where that comes from. I've made amazing, beautiful decisions and things from a place of like, I've had enough. Like from that space of rage and like, I'm not going to take this anymore. That's how any change, real lasting change happens. And I just think it should be acknowledged more because this is like, I love operations. I love systems for other people in my own business, in my day-to-day life. Like I'm just a mess. Like I'm just a mess like everybody else. And I do the best I can and I try really hard and I work really hard. But I push my own limits. And sometimes it's just like, nope, this, I never want to feel like this again. This is the fucking worst. And so I'm gonna change it because I have the power to change it. And that's rage. Rage is beautiful. It's so beautiful when used correctly, I think.
Oh yes, and I find it so exciting that I'm assuming are your professional like contacts and clients on Violent Confirmations? Are they part of this list?
I did not share this list with them because I was like, I'm gonna lose clients. And my clients are like, so I think other people, because it's like mutual friends or networked people, and they're like, oh my gosh, did you read Paya's email today? And they're like, I didn't know that she sends an email. And so they got, I do have, I think half of my clients are on my list now, and they respond almost all the time, or it comes up in meetings all the time. One time I used a subject line, one of my clients was struggling with his email list. And he's just like, I just don't want to write this. Like, this isn't fun for me anymore. And then the next day, I sent an email, and the subject line was, haters gonna hate, potatoes gonna potate. And he was like, if that is not the most fucking brilliant subject line I've ever heard in my whole life. Like, we talked about it for so long, a whole meeting. That's all we talked about. And I'm just like, I don't even know where I heard that from, but I think it's so funny. And then, it got him back into writing his email. He's like, thank you for reminding me that I can have fun when I do this. Like, this doesn't have to be a chore in my business. I can just have a good time here. And I'm like, that is all I'm winging it.
Oh, I love that so much. And I think it makes it even more powerful that you have rage like front and center in that sign off. You're swearing in these emails when you have your clients there, because I think like we're so conditioned about this like professionalism myth, like you're not allowed to do that. There's certain ways you're not allowed to admit you feel. There's certain ways you're not allowed to be. And like you're doing all that stuff we're not allowed to do and be professional. And yet having a way bigger impact with each one of these emails. Like you're like having clients bring up your emails in meetings, like that is like a dream result for a lot of people. Like tell me a little bit about the journey about deciding you don't have to follow silly rules like that in your email list.
It's long time coming. I think I stopped holding myself to that standard of it needs to be a certain way. Like, business can look different for everyone. And it's something I push with my clients. I'm just like, why do you want this specific, like, why do you want to get to this result in this specific way if you hate everything that's on this plan? Like, you don't like social media, you don't like any of this, and you're telling me that this is the path we're going to go down. Why? Why would you do that? Why are we? You have to be able to enjoy the path that you're working, regardless of what the goal is. If your goal is six figures or 10 clients or whatever that looks like for you, whatever your end result is, you have to do it in a way that you're going to enjoy each part, because you're not going to do it with your whole heart. And like, you have to love what you do. Like, be so fucking in love with what you're doing and the impact that you're having and the people that you're helping. And I think that gave me a lot of permission. I invite my clients on here now, and I warn them, obviously, because some of these are just out there. And I'm like, you're gonna see me exactly the way I show up in my life is how I show up on this list. I don't sell anything on there. This is who I am. And I think it gave me a lot of permission to be myself in meetings. Now my meetings, like, before I used to have templates and like, this is the agenda and this is what we're talking about in this order and this importance. And now it's just like, what's in your head today? What's on your heart? How is this, how much closer do you feel to your goal than yesterday? Like, it just is so free flowy and not like in a cheesy woo way, because I think some people take that too far too. Like, it's very flowy. My clients want structure, but they want to be themselves within that structure. And sometimes it's like too narrow and they can't do that. And that's why, like, the container that I build with them is like, hey, these are the boundaries. If you tell me this is your goal, this is the goal. But we can get there in whatever swirly way you want to go. If you want to pray to planets, let's pray to planet. Like, I don't care, so long as you're loving it and we're getting there. So it just gave me a lot of permission to just like, I can send this. They don't think worse of me. They're actually enjoying it. They're sending it to their friends. They're talking about it in their containers of like, oh, my VA sends this amazing email and it snaps me out of my funk in the morning because she's just like, no, this is bullshit. Keep going.
Yeah, that is so good. I love that you mentioned like structure, and I think people get confused with structure and systems a lot being restrictive, but like Violent Confirmations actually does have a really strong structure. Like every day, less than 100 words, like that's a structure, baby. And like yet you have so much freedom to play in there and like show up in a big, bold way, which is really cool that you're like actively demonstrating that. And then I'm also curious, who is the intended audience for Violent Confirmations? And who are you hoping reads it, and what do you hope they take away from it?
When I started it, I didn't know. I don't think I could answer that question. And I think even now it's hard to answer. I think everybody needs to read in some way, shape, or form, needs to read a Violent Confirmation type email or text. At one point I was going to make this like a daily text, and I was like, yeah, I don't know if I could keep up with that. It's just so across the board. It covers so many topics. And like not every day, you're not gonna get a message from it every day, right? You're not gonna, sometimes it's just not gonna resonate. You're gonna be like, oh, cool, she sent it, you know, this is cool, and you file it away. But I think when it hits, when it strikes a chord, it's just like that reminder in a really strong way, like, oh, I can change this. I can change this because Paya has sent an email. This is not the first time she has said this, because a lot of them too, I'm talking about the same thing because it comes up for me all the time. Like when I talk about toxic relationships or like freeing yourself from people who don't, who just don't see the good in you and how that brings you down, that comes up a lot because it comes up a lot in my life. And so I say that a bunch of different ways. Like I have an email that's like, why are you so worried about what that person is thinking about you? You don't even fucking like them. And so like people respond to this, they're like, you're right. I actually can't stand that person. So why do I care? And I'm like, go to therapy. Go to therapy then. Figure that out. But it's like I can say it so many different ways. And I think that the consistency is the part I think that really, really has the impact because it's always there, regardless of where you are in your life. Maybe today you're not ready to hear that because you're struggling with that relationship, or, you know, even if it's a working relationship, a personal relationship, a romantic relationship, and you're too in it to receive that message. But in another 4 weeks, I'll probably bring it up again a different way. And that's when it hits you. I'm like, oh, yeah, I can fix this. I can fix this. This can be different. So I don't know. I think everybody should read it. Everybody who enjoys a little sassiness, a little sarcasm, and a little pettiness every now and again should read it. It's amazing. I think it's empowering.
I think it's empowering too. I feel like I've been personally called out in the best ways, especially like your ones around boundaries and communication and like saying no.
Oh.
And I'm so curious because like when that stuff arises in my work life, it always inspires so much content, but then I'm like, is that one client gonna know this is about them? Or like, you know,
Oh,
do you ever have like fears like
yes.
that come up, and how do you deal with that?
That happened so much. So much. It actually happened to me today because I wrote tomorrow's email already. And then I was like, I can't send this tomorrow because if this person who I love and supports me, and I support them, but it's like you just have these moments of like, this came up for me during this conversation. If I send it to that the next day, you're going to know it's about you. There's no way. So like I have it in there, it's a draft. I'll probably go back in later, maybe add a joke or maybe take something out and then schedule it for a couple days later. So you never know. Like there are people who are like, cool, text me. They won't even respond to the email. They'll text and be like, hey, was this morning about me? And I'm like, no, why the fuck would you think it's about you? I'm not thinking about you, bro. What's wrong with you? But it can come off that way, especially if you sometimes we're the problem. So sometimes we're the ones that are pushing on someone's boundary, or sometimes we're the ones that are being super toxic and we don't realize it until you get that email and you're like, oh, maybe I should apologize. Maybe I should do this different. Because I've caught myself, and that's one of the reasons why I stopped scheduling them in advance. Because I think the longest I've had schedule, I was going away with my daughter, and I think I scheduled like 8 days just to not lose the momentum. That's a bad idea. For this kind of email, that's a terrible idea, because then I was catching myself too, and I'm like, no, I wrote these. Why am I hurting my own feelings? No, I'll never do that again. So now it's like I'd rather send it later in the day and know that it's going to go out than pre-plan it days in advance and then hurt my own feelings. It's some of them are harsh, and I'm just like, guys, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I don't know what came over me. I don't know what past Taya was thinking.
That's so speaking of, I am really curious, like, what kind of responses do you get? So clients are emailing these to each other and around their companies. You're having people direct respond to the emails. Tell me a few of your favorite and maybe even least favorite responses.
My least favorite response is the same response. And it's like, you curse too much in your emails.
Right.
This is really mean. I mean, if the shoe fits, bitch, I don't know what to tell. You can unsubscribe that, but I'm not one of those people who hides the unsubscribe button. I do not make it the same font color as the background. Like, you can get off this list. You can even email me and I'll take you off. Like, I don't need it. And I'm just like, okay, thanks. A little do sign emoji. Like, what do you want me to do? This is exactly what it's meant to be. I get a lot of like, I love yous, and oh my gosh, this is so timely, or why is this in your voice? Why can't I picture your face when you're saying this? Which I think is really funny. My favorite responses are not email responses. Like, when my clients bring it to the meeting, and they're like, hey, I have something to talk about. Can we talk about this email that you sent yesterday? Because, like, I cannot get it out of my head. Or I had sent an email last week, maybe, or the week before, and it was about this big money goal that I made, like a scary goal I made in my business. And I was like, I checked and did the math, and I'm like over 50% to this goal. And I'm just sharing it with y'all because this is accountability for me too. Like, please feel free to ask me about it. And my friend, she messaged me on Voxer and she's like, do I need an accountability partner? I make all these like very generic goals in my head, but nothing ever happens. I never meet them and they're always changing. And I'm like, tell me your money goal. And she's like, I don't know. I kind of want to meet. And I'm like, that's not a goal. Kind of want to, sort of. That's not a goal. Like, tell me a number. And then in 2 weeks, I'm going to ask you how close you are to this number. That's different. Say it with intention. And she's like, oh, that's different. And I'm like, yeah. So I love those where it's like in a completely different medium because I think it catches you. It shows how much it impacted you that you didn't just see it on your phone and hit reply. Or you weren't sitting at your computer answering a bunch of emails and hit reply. Like, you went on with your day, you walked your dog, you fed your cat, you hung out with your parent and took your kid to school. And then you sat there and you were like, no, this is bugging me. Let me message her so she can also be annoyed, as annoyed as I am when I read it, which I think is, I don't know, it's so, it reminds me that this is okay for me to do. Like, it's just okay for me to do. And this is a very viable and important part of my business because I treasure community so much. I would love to have like a Violent Confirmations meetup. We just all get on Zoom and just talk shit, even if that turns into like everybody yelling about, like, hey, you can't say these things to me. I'm your friend. You can't say these things to me. That's also another response I get. They're like, I thought we were friends. Like, I've known you for a really long time. Why do you feel it's okay to talk to me like this? And I'm just like, it's just an email. It didn't say your name. That's why I stopped. That's the thing that I did do. I stopped personalizing it with their name, like including the personalization. Because I would say
Have the
things
name
like,
on there before?
yes.
Oh, you
If
mean
so,
like, or
yeah,
like
so it'd be like, hey, Isa,
automate it?
or
Yeah,
yeah, like
okay.
just the whatever. And they're like, I would always say, it's not like I have, like, it doesn't have your name on it. It's just a general email. They're like, no, it says hi and my name. You wrote this to me. And I'm just like, that's not how email works. That's not how that works.
Yeah.
So I stopped doing it. Now it's just like super general and flowy. But they're, I don't know. I get so happy when I, at first I wasn't getting responses. And then when I started noticing people hitting reply, I'm like, why are they doing that? It's just a stupid email. Like, what's the big deal? But now, pretty consistently, I'll get, I'll send seven in a week and I probably get five responses. And it's like, oh, this is so timely. I needed this today. And then if I write about something over and over, I think some of those boundary things during a specific time, I was writing sort of on the same topic, just getting it out, because it's also really helpful for me to just put, not hold all that inside. And somebody emailed me and was like, hey, are you okay? Like, I'm here if you need to talk or whatever. If not, these are really great. And I love that you have an outlet. And I'm just like, I'm not okay, but thank you. Like, I'm not gonna sit here and say, because it, for the most part, like now there's strangers on the list. Like people have no idea how they got there. And I'm just like, yeah, I don't know you, stranger danger, but like, thank you for even taking the time. And I try to write back to every single person that writes. Like, even if it takes me a couple of days, I always write back because I don't know, it's such a small thing. And I do that too. Like, I'll respond to people when they send their email of just like, this is so great. I love your new offer. Like, I hope you fill this container, whatever, like, just to hype someone up from the other side because I think it's really nice.
Yeah, so it sounds like you started it as like a thing for you to help you grow your confidence and skill level with putting stuff out there. And then you were doing it like primarily for you, not to sell a thing, not to speak to you, the ideal client. Like you're like, I'm making something that makes me happy, and it took off from there. And yeah, and I think what's cool about it is you've maintained that integrity. You're still writing about, like, you haven't changed the focus to be all business systems. It's like
No.
still your stuff. And yet it's building your reputation, recognizability, familiarity with your brand, changing the way people think about content and systems. So even though you're not like, I'm not telling you, like, I'm not giving you a systems tip of the day, it's still very relevant to your brand. Were you ever tempted to be like, maybe I should make this more businessy? Or like, tell me, as your list grew and it was getting more in attention, how did you keep the vision for an integrity for Violent Confirmations so consistent?
I did maybe halfway through the first year, I created a separate newsletter because people are like, oh, you should sell your stuff and pitch yourself. I'm not, that's not what this is for. But now that I'm used to writing emails, maybe I can just do a newsletter. So I was sending my newsletter on Saturday because I love a Saturday email. I feel like I have more time to read on the weekend to really read something, so I loved the idea of sending it, and it was called Sloppy Saturdays. And it took so many different formats, and I never really found my footing, and I would talk about everything on there. I think the format that I liked the best, it was like a how it started with like a story of either how what I was doing in the beginning of my business or before my business or something in my life. And then how it's going, and kind of wrap that into where my business was. And then it was like a hype section. And I would talk about, like, oh, this is how my friend is doing this. And like, here's this thing that you should watch what my other friend did, and follow this person on Instagram, like just to keep the community vibes going. And they were good. And I would enjoy it, but it also felt like it was so much pressure that I was putting on myself. And I would find myself strive like this isn't perfect and it has to be perfect and feeling all of that anxiety around that. And like my offer is not really what I want it to be. So I'm gonna pitch it because I have to be selling. And I'm just like, but do I have to be selling? Like I'm not even enjoying this. And then I would write my violent confirmations and it would be so much fun and I'd be so happy and so thrilled. And then I would go to write Sloppy Saturday and I'm just like, man, this is a chore to do. And so I did it for maybe I think let's call it 6 months because I think I made it to my birthday. Like I did my family, my husband and my daughter, like we do our birthdays are December, January, February, and I do remember writing for all three of those. But after that, like I just lost interest, and then I stopped writing the violent confirmations because it was at that time where they were going to end. It was only an experiment for a year. And then 6 months after I had stopped, people were like, hey, so are you really not sending these anymore? Like ever? And I'm just like, I really miss writing them. And I thought that I couldn't, I thought that I didn't have permission or I didn't have the right to send more because the original deal was I'm going to send these for a year to prove to myself that I can send it for a year. And that was what how I explained it to everybody. So I felt like the readers signed up for a year and knew that they're and they signed up because there was an end date. And I was just like, no, if they don't want to be on it anymore, they'll unsubscribe. And that's fine. If everybody unsubscribes, it's fine. And I'm going to keep writing it because I do miss writing them. And I sent one. And I got a bunch of responses. People were like, wait, are these back? Are they back? Are you back? And I'm like, I don't know, this is a lot of pressure. So of course I hit again and didn't send another one for like 3 weeks. And then when I started every day, people were like, they didn't respond right away. And then after like a week or two, they're like, I'm so glad that you're doing this again because I have missed them. I've missed your anger and your sarcasm in my inbox and I need it. And now it's like, it's just, I think it's just part of who I am. I think this is the very best way to get to know me if you don't know me in person, because how else would you do it? I'm not on social unless I'm posting, things about revolution or things about astrology. Like there's no in between. I'm not selling anything ever to anyone.
Oh wow. I love that so much. Like I think the thing about like do I have permission is the thing that really gets people in their heads a lot. Like a lot of my clients are like if I send emails too frequently like people will unsubscribe or they won't like it or they'll feel like I'm taking up too much space. Did you have to go on like a journey internally to be like if they unsubscribe, they unsubscribe, it's okay? Or were you always just kind of okay with it?
I think the lie is that I was always okay with it, and nobody was unsubscribing in the beginning. It took a long time for people to unsubscribe, for the first person to unsubscribe, and then when I did, when I saw that number, and I was like, oh my gosh, somebody left. And then I go to check who it was, and I'm like, I don't even know this person. This is a stranger. And I'm like, okay, not a big deal. I don't know them. And then someone else, I think the next time somebody unsubscribed, and I was just like, again, somebody that I didn't even know was on the list. Like really, because I also hid those emails of like, you have a new subscriber and blah blah. Like I didn't want to psych myself out either way. And then it's been, I don't know, I see people unsubscribe sometimes. I've had two people unsubscribe, and there were people that I knew, and they were like, one was sent me this really unnecessary but super thoughtful email of like, I can't keep reading these every day, but I'm so glad that you're sending them. But a lot of these are really hurtful, and which shows me that like I have to go on a journey outside of these. And I'm just like, dude, that is so fucking relatable. Like, that's amazing that this sent you that way, because you wouldn't even know who else's email. There's no other email like mine. Like they wouldn't have found that out any other way. And then someone else that I knew unsubscribed and then again sent me this like wall of text on my phone. And it was basically, I'm signed up with two email addresses and I didn't realize. So I'm gonna unsubscribe from one. And I'm like, girl, you're fine. You're fine. But it's fine. I would rather, there's this thing that people say that's like, oh, if I don't send an email, people won't unsubscribe. And I'm like, right, but they also don't get to know you. Like, that's dumb. So I would rather people be so activated that they feel like they need to leave, or so in love with it that they're replying. Like, I think the in between is the part where it's like, do you like this, or is this just getting filtered somewhere? Which is also fine, but there's no, you're not getting an impact from them if they're just going directly into like a newsletter folder. But I don't know. I love emails. I love the emails that I'm, the email list that I'm on, I read them. And if this year I gave myself the permission to like, if this is not resonating in any way, I have to get off this list. Because A, it's not giving them, if I stop opening them, that's going to ruin your deliverability. That's that, like I'm thinking about them as much as I'm thinking, like it's just not doing anything for me. So I don't think, I think now I'm fine. If you feel like, okay, this ride has been awesome, or maybe not awesome, or I didn't know that this is what this email list would be like, so I'm gonna go, that's totally fine. And I think not just with mine, with everybody's, because we have way too much email in our inbox.
Yeah,
I
totally.
like I'm in my clients' inboxes all the time, and I'm just like, when's the last time you opened this? All of these are unread. Like, I'm gonna unsubscribe. And still they're like, no, but that's my friend. I'm like, right, but this doesn't change your friendship. This just doesn't change your friendship. If you unsubscribe from someone's list, it doesn't mean that relationship is deteriorating. It just means that you don't read this email and you respect them enough to not affect their deliverability this way. Oh, Okay. Like, just look at it different. It doesn't mean anything. It just means you don't enjoy the email, which is fine.
Yeah, totally. And I think like you bring up such a great point. Like, if you write something totally unoffensive, okay, maybe you won't get unsubscribes, but it's not there, you're not going to get replies like Pei is getting from Violent Confirmations. You're not going to get people saying your email changed my life for like forwarding it to everybody on their
Right.
contact list that could be a client for sure. The other thing I mentioned in like our little pre-interview email was, for some reason, I get so excited when I see another female entrepreneur who curses in her marketing. It just makes me so happy. I feel like instantly, like, oh, I feel more comfortable with you. And I haven't unpacked that a lot, except for maybe like, oh, well, that person doesn't subscribe to silly notions of professionalism either. But did you have to? It sounds like you even got some pushback for cursing in your marketing. Did you have to go on a journey to be like, this is how I talk? Love it or leave it.
It was, but it was a short trip. We could walk there. It was short. Because it's like, how silly would it be for me to send these like perfectly prim and proper emails, and then you meet me in real life and I fucking curse like a pirate. Like, it just, I think that would be more jarring than me just cursing in an email. And I think the first time I said fucking in an email, it was like, even one of my clients was like, "Hey, are you sure you want to do that? Like, you could just use the app." I'm like, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that because I'm a person who curses in front of their kid, and my kid knows those are just spicy words that mama uses, and she doesn't use them. Like, she hears them, but she knows that like those are adult words, right? Those are flair that we add. It's just how we communicate. It's like I talk with my hands, and if I'm speaking Spanish and I'm talking to my family, I'm also cursing in Spanish. Like, it's just what's happening. It's how I was raised, and I'm very comfortable. And I adore a professional, put together business owner who throws fuck around like it's just an ampersand. Like, just use it. I know you curse in your house. I know you curse in your real life. Why would this be different? This is just an extension of me. This is a different way for you to get to know me. And I think that has been clear for me, maybe not from the beginning, but super early on. Like, I want to build that community, which means you have to get to know me. I gotta come and be so motherfucking for real for you to get to know me. And if cursing offends you, I may not be the person for you, and that is okay. That is okay, because there's like a trillion other people on this floating rock that you can be friends with. You don't have to be friends with me. That took a long time to come to terms with. But the cursing, I was like, no, because it's also a qualifier. If that offends you, we probably won't be good working together. All of my clients curse, even the ones that pretend in their business that they don't. Every single one of them. So when they're listening to this, because they're all like, send it to me. Send it to me. You're not going to hide. When this episode comes out, like, please send it to me. And every single one of y'all curse. Every single one. That's how our meetings are run.
Yeah, I love that. And I think like when I started getting more comfortable like swearing in my marketing, or like you can see me pole dancing in some old like marketing, or like I get like I've scandalized a lot of people from my old corporate life with what I let go be in my marketing. But the payoff for that is like when I get a email response from someone being like, I feel like you just gave me permission to do this thing I've been holding myself back from in marketing, which is one of like my favorite responses to get. I'm curious, do you get responses like that from people being like, I didn't know you were allowed to do that in your email, or like,
I think for the cursing, yes, and that comes up. It comes up a lot because it's like, and sometimes I'll just go emails where it just doesn't fit, right? The message is what it is, and it just doesn't fit in. And then when I throw it back in, it's like, dang, you're right. Like, I can just come in here and fuck it up, and I'm like, yes, you can, you can, because the point is to build. If you want it to be this very professional, very like whatever, go get a corporate job. Go get some health insurance, because as an entrepreneur, health insurance is not, that is a struggle. Like, go get some paid PTO. We don't get that. Go get benefits. Babe, like if that's what you want, go get ben go work for somebody and get benefits. But that's not what I wanted. I wanted a business that I could run with my kid on my hip. That if I wanted to work outside, I could work outside. If I wanted to put up an out of office without telling anybody, that's just what it's gonna be. That's what I wanted to build. And I wanted that freedom. And we all of us could have that freedom. We just gotta have a little bit of bravery too. Like that has to be built in for when people are like, you shouldn't curse in your message. Fuck you. Go kick, unsubscribe and kick rocks, please.
Yeah, I think that's such a healthy attitude because I know so many of my clients are so worried about someone being like, you shouldn't do that. And like really the correct response is, well, if you think that you're not my audience, you're not my intended person. There's a lot of other people that will follow the rules you think you're supposed to follow. Go work with one of them.
Right. Like how I say this to my coach, I'm like, how did they get here? How
Yeah.
if this is a thing that offends them, how did they get here? Because every paver on the path to me is a curse word.
Yeah, I think like it triggers people to see, I think women, particularly like women of color, like
Oh my
being
God.
so, I'm not following the rules of your silly professionalism that was built in systems meant to keep me out. Like, I think it's really triggering. And so a lot of people want to convince you so that their worldview isn't sh shook that, no, these are rules everybody has to follow. And you can just be like, no, I am subscribed from that viewpoint a while ago. So you
Yep.
could subscribe from my list if that upsets you, but I'm doing my thing.
Yep. And if it didn't work, there wouldn't be so many of us succeeding through it. The path, it's not easy. Like I'm not gonna sit here and say, oh no, just like three affirmations and one violent confirmation a day, and in 3 weeks you'll be great. This shit is hard. This path is hard. And for a lot of us, we don't have an example. Like we just don't have an example of somebody that looks like us and moves like us that's doing it. So if I'm your example, like go right ahead. This is never gonna change. This violent confirmation, what it was in 22 is what it's gonna continue to be because it's probably my favorite thing. Other than delivering for clients and like showing up for them fully, violent confirmation is my most favorite business thing that I do.
Yeah, and I just want to reiterate a point you made at the beginning. Like, yeah, it is hard. It's scary. We don't have a lot of examples. And yet, you've had amazing, like, dream email list results from violent confirmations. And you said you're halfway to your money goal already, right?
I'm half. Oh my God! It's March 7th when we're recording this. I made this goal second week of January, to make all of the money that I made in 2023 by June 30th, and I'm 60% to my goal right now.
60%. Okay, so you showing up, breaking the professionalism rules, doing things your ways, did not tank your business. People still
Did
want to work
not take my
with you.
business.
And
Yeah.
yeah, the opposite happened. So you doing the scary thing, taking the risk, being authentic, being visible as you breaking all these rules did the opposite of hurting your business.
Yes. Yeah.
Really
I
cool.
think, and it hurt. I think it hurt me because it's hurting me in a, I don't know, in a really profound way because, man, what if I had the courage to do this sooner? Like, where could I be today if I had let myself be this courageous and be this, like, fuck it, throw caution to the wind? Like, let me, oh my gosh. Oh, was it today's email? I was like, please be audacious as a cishet white man. Like just be audacious
Yeah.
and I throw caution to the wind and like do your thing. And I wonder if I had given myself that permission or felt we're all powerful, but I think that power like it drains and we got to recharge and figure that out. And if I had been at this amount of power a year ago, how much should I have accomplished? Like I have big dreams, I have big goals of how I want to give back, how I want to give back to women, how I want to give back to women of color. And a lot of that takes money. And could I have been there already? Like it's just those thoughts get in my head, but I don't let that get me down. Like I use it to reflect and just to give my brain evidence of like, Girl, you're doing it. Everything that you said you wanted to do, like you're so close to these goals. It's scary. That's how scary I feel to these goals in distance. And it's like, I can do it. In 6 months, we'll be having a conversation. Like maybe I'll run my first mom event. And like, there's so many things I want to do. And it's, I violent confirmations gives me courage to do that. As I'm writing them, as I'm seeing responses come in, as I'm seeing women, especially women, say like, I could do this. Like I could really do insert X thing that they want to do. And I'm like, yes, please do it. And if you need somebody to hype you up, please call me, please text me so that I can do that for you. Let me be that person for you that I probably needed when I was you.
Yeah, you're the trailblazer. Like you're right, we don't have like a lot of examples because we're the examples right now.
We're the examples.
Yeah. So powerful. All right. Hey, thank you so much for sharing your awesome throat punches of loving honesty with our audience and inspiring us all. How can people keep up with you? How can they work with you?
So I have a new website, so you can go to payarobbins.com, PEYA Robbins with two B's, and all of my information and how to contact me is there. There's also a sign up form so that people can sign up for violent confirmations. The email does come to me. I'm a team of one, so I will see every single one of those, and I will be the one responding to them. And yeah, I hope you enjoy it and sign up because it really is such a fun and sarcastic journey.
It is so much fun, and I will have links for this stuff in the show notes as well when this episode goes out. All right. Thank you so much, Paya.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. You can find all the links for how to follow and work with Paya and me in the show notes. And if you loved this episode, please make sure to tag Paya and me on social media when you post about your takeaways and insights. And as always, don't forget to drop me some stars and share this fabulous free resource with all your entrepreneur friends. It would mean so much to me. And if you want to find your voice so you can send out throat punches of love of your very own that get you powerful results, please do check out my brand storytelling package so we can get you a fire brand story you cannot wait to share with the world that forms the foundation for all of your marketing, keeps everything cohesive and on brand, and just fabulous. Check it out. Link is in the show notes.